Thank you. I am hurting today. We'll talk about that a little bit later. So you might stick your fingers in 1 Corinthians 12. I'll get there about halfway through. Talks about the body. You know, sometimes when you're supposed to stand up here and bring forth the Word of God, I don't know, sometimes I go blank. You know, it's like, well, because I don't want to bring forth what's on my mind. I want to bring forth what's on Christ's mind and what's on God's mind. And what you want to, not what you want to hear, what you need to hear. I'm not here to preach what you want to hear, per se. So I hope today I don't get a little bit rough. I don't know, I might. I can't guarantee it. But I have a concern, and I have a concern for our nation, and I have a great concern for our church. And Satan hadn't quit. He's still out there fighting. And I think from the way I see things going in our nation and things around me here and there, I think he's fighting harder than he has before. And I may be wrong, but I don't think so. 1 Peter is where I'm going to start. Before I get there, though, I need to praise God. I do have a bad back. I've got a sore back, and it's not hurting near as bad as it was earlier. I asked a couple brothers to administer to me in between services. I call them brothers because they are. Just like all of you are my brothers and sisters. That's why I worry about us. If I didn't care for you, I wouldn't worry. But Satan's no fool, and he's not a dummy. He knows where to hit us at as a nation, and he knows where to hit Christ's church at, right in a breadbasket sometimes, to take the air right out of our sails. Oh, 1 Peter 5, I'll just start with the first verse. Seems like the best place to start. Talks about some things here. Verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ. That's Peter talking. And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. I think those are wise words for anybody that stands behind this pulpit. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And that's what we're to be. And sometimes we fail. Because we are men, and sometimes we're not walking in the Spirit as we should. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, who is Jesus Christ, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be diligent, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered for a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. A lot of good words there. We need to be humble. We need to cast our cares upon Jesus Christ. You know, we've got problems in our lives. We need to go to Jesus with them. We need to take them to the healer. Not only the healer of our bodies, but the healer of our souls also. But it also says that the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't like the church of Christ. It's against everything he stands for. But it says that we're to resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know, what comes on you comes on others. You know, I'm not the only one in here that's got a bad back. I know that. Matter of fact, several come to my mind right off the top of my head. A couple of them I had administered to me. But Satan's out there, and he wants to tear us down as a godly nation, and he wants to tear us down as a church of Christ. I'm going to read something here, and I have to apologize. I didn't research it to see how true it is. But it'll get my point across. This is a statement that was read over the PA system of a football game at Rowan County High School, Kingston, Tennessee, by school principal Jody McLeod. I thought it was worth sharing with the world and hope you will forward it to your... blah, blah, blah. I got it through the email. It shows clearly just how far this country has gone in the wrong direction. And what I'm hoping to do is to, before I'm done today, is to bring some of this down to our level right here and now. Here it goes. It has always been the custom of Rowan County High School football games to say a prayer and to play the national anthem to honor God and country. Due to the recent ruling by the Supreme Court, I am told that saying a prayer is a violation of federal case law. As I understand the law at this time, I can use this public facility to approve of sexual perversion and call it an alternate lifestyle. And if someone is offended, that's okay. And I'm not talking about here, I'm talking about the school. Okay. I can use it to condone sexual promiscuity by dispensing condoms and calling it safe sex. If someone is offended, that's okay. I can even use this public facility to present the merits of killing an unborn baby as a viable means of birth control. If someone is offended, no problem. I can designate a school day as Earth Day and involve students. I can designate a school day as Earth Day and involve students in activities to worship religiously and praise the goddess of Mother Earth and call it ecology. I can use literature, video, and presentations in the classroom that depict people with strong traditional Christian convictions as simple-minded and ignorant and call it enlightenment. However, if anyone uses this facility to honor God and to ask Him to bless this event with safety and good sportsmanship, then federal case law is violated. This appears to be inconsistent at best and at worst diabolical. Apparently, we are to be tolerant of everything and anyone except God and His commandments. Nevertheless, as a school principal, I frequently ask staff and students to abide by rules with which they do not necessarily agree. For me to do otherwise would be inconsistent at best and at worst hypocritical. I suffer from that affliction enough unintentionally. I certainly do not need to add an intentional transgression. For this reason, I shall render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And refrain from praying at this time. However, if you feel inspired to honor, praise, and thank God and ask Him in the name of Jesus to bless this event, please feel free to do so. As far as I know, that's not against the law yet. And it goes on to say, one by one, the people in the stands bowed their heads, held hands with one another, and began to pray. They prayed in the stands, they prayed in the team huddles, they prayed at the concession stand, and they prayed in the announcer's box. The only place they didn't pray was the Supreme Court of the United States of America, the seat of justice in the one nation under God. And then it goes on to add some other comments. What do you think? Does it hit the mark pretty much? Especially anybody that's school teachers and probably knows these laws a lot better than I do. But Satan is trying to tear us down as one nation under God. They're trying to take it out of the Pledge of Allegiance. No, it wasn't originally there, but I think it ought to stay. The motto on our money says, "In God we trust." We're supposed to be a godly nation. But yet Satan sure is trying to tear it down, especially with the federal judges that I see that are in there. Page 259 of the Book of Mormon. Like I said, he wants to tear us down as a godly nation. He wants to tear us up as a church. When he'll sure do it if we let him. If we let him. This is Alma, the oldest Alma. And this is right after Abinadi had given his speech and gone through his stuff, and Alma took off into the wilderness, and he was teaching people the words that Abinadi had preached about Jesus Christ and the resurrection and of salvation and redemption. And on page 259, the ninth chapter of the book of Mosiah, starting with verse 38, going through 42, they had gathered together, and there were waters there. It was at what's called the place of Waters of Mormon. And it came to pass that he said unto them, "Behold, here are the waters of Mormon, for thus were they called. And now as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called his people, and are willing to bear one another's burdens that they may be light." Are we willing to be called his people? And are we willing to bear one another's burdens that they might be light? I think we are willing to bear one another's burdens. I think we have a problem is we don't know what your burdens are. One Wednesday night at a prayer meeting that we have out east, it kind of got discussed a little bit, and I got to thinking, you know, we're told to do that as a church. You know, we're supposed to help each other bear one another's burdens, but yet none of us want to say we have burdens. Well, maybe not none of us. I can't go that far. I fall into that affliction. I mean, especially when it's spiritual burdens, things that are bothering my heart, especially things I know that I'm doing wrong. You don't want to bring them forth. Why is that? Because we don't want to get ridiculed. We don't want people gossiping about us. We don't want people talking behind our backs. We don't want to let anybody know we have problems. Is there anybody out there that doesn't have any problems whatsoever? Well, I ought to see these little babies. Of course, then they have problems too. They have parents. So. Anyway, good. I thought I might be getting a little bit too serious. But it is a serious matter. Where was I at? Verse 40. "Yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn." We do that. I've been to funerals in the Church of Christ. I've been around when people have been hurt. And they voiced their hurts. And they were mourning. And I've seen the mourning with them. "Yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort." I've seen that also. There have been several times in testimony services that I have seen people stand up and bear a testimony of a burden that they might have on their heart. And then I've seen other people stand up and give testimony of what they went through in a similar situation and how God helped them out. And it's really strengthening to me. And to stand as witnesses of God at all times and in all places. Oh, sorry, I skipped a spot here. And to stand as a witness of God at all times and in all things and in all places that you may be in, even until death, that you may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that you may have eternal life. Have you ever thought about those things when you decided that you wanted to be a member of the Church of Christ? And then Alma goes on, "Now I say unto you, if this be the desires of your hearts, what have you against being baptized in the name of the Lord, as a witness before Him that you have entered into a covenant with Him, that you will serve Him and keep His commandments, that you may pour out, that He may pour out His Spirit more abundantly upon you?" And now when the people heard these words, they clapped their hands for joy and exclaimed, "This is the desires of our hearts." So I guess I ask the question, is it a desire of our hearts as people, as members of the Church of Christ, that we would do the things that Alma listed here? You know, that we're willing to bear one another's burdens. You know, I don't have a very strong back, but I can carry a little bit of a burden. You know, sometimes more than others. Sometimes I can carry more at different times than I can at others. Sometimes I have to be careful about how I put words together from up here because not everybody interprets the same way. You know, are we willing to be witnesses of God at all times and in all things and in all places? You know, it says even until death. It's a scary thing to me to think about doing that. But that's what it says here. And those people at that time, they were told those things before they went into the waters, and yet they still wanted to go. As a matter of fact, they clapped their hands for joy and exclaimed it, that this is the desires of our hearts. You know, we need each other. You know, we need family. We need physical family and we need spiritual family. Because when we're out there alone, we can't handle it alone. I can't. I've tried it. It doesn't happen. As a matter of fact, well, I hate it when these old song titles come into my head because I don't really like the music anymore, but you know, I was on the highway to hell. And I was definitely there, and I was starting to pick up speed. And Jesus came into my life and helped me start putting on the brakes. As far as I'm concerned, He did a wonderful miracle in my life, and I know He can do it in yours. You know, Lana asked me, she says, since my back was hurting and such, she didn't know how long I could stand. And she asked me if it was going to be short, and I said, I don't have any idea. I know what scriptures I want, but I don't know what I'm going to say. But I can tell you right now, the more I stand up here, the better my back's feeling. So who knows, we may go on all afternoon. I doubt it. 1 Corinthians 12. Did anybody stick their finger in there? 1 Corinthians 12. This is Paul, and he wrote a letter to the Corinthians, and they had a lot of problems. They had questions, and he tried answering their questions and going on and trying to edify the body. trying to get them to understand things. And this is, in my Bible, this is verse, the actual and spiritual body. You know, like I said, this morning I was, actually not this morning, but for this whole last week, I've been praying that that I'd know what I needed to pray about, or needed to speak. And like I said, not a whole lot was coming to my mind. And last night, as I was thinking about staying up, I knew I was tired, and my mind doesn't work well when I'm tired. So I thought, well, we'll go to bed and we'll get up early. I said, I need to rest my back anyway because I can't hardly walk at that point. So I woke up this morning and I was thinking, okay, what is it, Lord, I need to talk about? He says, your back hurts, don't it? I said, it sure does. He says, it's affecting your whole body, isn't it? And I said, yeah, it is. And I said, okay. So I thought, what is it I need to bring forth, and how do I need to go about it? And I hope that this is coming together, because Satan is he's out there. He wants to have us. You know, my back hurts. It hurts right down against my pelvis, right on the base of my spine, usually on the left-hand side. And I know why. There's a deformity back there that I was born with. I didn't know it for the longest time. That's where it likes to give out. But it doesn't hurt right there. It hurts all over, it seems like. And I have to, and my body, when it's like that, can't function the way it was made to function. I don't walk the right way. I sure can't bend over the right way. And sometimes when I get up, it's really odd looking when I have to get up from either being in bed or in a chair. And it makes my back tense up, and it makes my shoulders tense. Sometimes it gives me a headache. I don't use my left arm as well as I did, not because it pinches on anything. It's because I hold it in to try to help keep weight off of that thing. And I lean on it. I didn't realize how much I relied on my left arm until I hurt my back, because I'm right-handed. But when one part of my body hurts, it seems like the whole body hurts, or it has to compensate for it. 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I'll start at the 12th verse and probably read the rest of the chapter. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. I've got that underlined in my Bible because it's something that sticks out to me when I read it. As it hath pleased him. He has stuck each and every one of us in this congregation, I feel, as it has pleased him. We might not know what our function is right now, but I truly believe that he's put us here as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. You know, I care about my husband. I just sat here. This verse just hit me. As I stand here thinking about it, I care for my family. You know, I've got two daughters. One of them's here, and she's pregnant, and she's going to have a daughter. At least that's what we've been told. And I care for them. And I was thinking about you all this morning. And I was thinking about some of the problems that I know of. I was thinking about some of the good things, too. Don't get me wrong. I was trying not to be all on the negative side. But I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, I was grieved. And it was bothering me because I know that we have parts that are hurting. And as a body, therefore, we should be hurting and trying to help those hurting parts get better. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Are we all the same? Well, I'd have to say definitely not, because I know we're male and female, because that's the way God made us. And He made us that way for a purpose. And when I think about the body of Christ, and I think about marriage, marriage is supposed to be a correlation to me anyway, when I read the scriptures, of Christ in the church. And I'm probably getting ahead of myself. But I'm sure you have, because this isn't a new sermon. Maybe just put together a little bit different than maybe you've heard it in the past. But us here in these walls, are we one body? 66. What did I say? Page 287. Alma too, it says, but in Alma, the son of Alma, he was going about with the sons of Mosiah, and he was destroying the church of God. I think in one place it says that they were murdering the church, not physically, but spiritually. Well, Jesus got tired of it, so he had a little talk with Alma and his buddies, and he struck Alma down. But he also told him to arise and stand forth. Verse 165, and I'm going to read 166 and finish. But nevertheless, he cried again. This is Jesus. He says, Alma, arise and stand forth, for why persecutest thou the church of God? For the Lord hath said, this is my church, and I will establish it, and nothing shall overthrow it, save it is the transgression of my people. I hope I've given you all something to think about. I know I've got some things that I need to change, especially in my thinking. But I think now I understand why Satan just tries to give us a mighty blow to our marriages as he does to the church, because it's supposed to be a correlation. Thank you.